This is the Off the Break Podcast, your podcast dedicated to current movie theater news, operations, and insights from the people that book the movies. Now, here are your hosts, Cody, Kyle, and Ken.
Swimming into a new week of Off the Break Podcast here.
We have an Aquaman trailer.
Guess who's the most excited, everyone?
Just a little bit.
For Aquaman and what is the name of this movie?
Aquaman and the Wasp?
Might as well. The Lost Quantumanium.
Aquaman Part 3, Part 2.
Okay, but seriously, what is the name of this movie?
The Lost Kingdom.
Aquaman, The Lost Kingdom. Okay, yeah. I had no idea in the trailer that there was anything lost.
Yeah. There's seven kingdoms. One of them is the Lost Evil Kingdom.
I spent so much time during the pandemic trying to find Jurassic Park 3.
Yeah.
Because they called it The Lost World. Or no, number two.
Yeah, that's number two.
Lost World.
Jurassic Park. No, it's The Lost World, Jurassic Park.
Jurassic Park. There's no two.
You don't say that in your head. Lost World, Jurassic Park. You don't say it like
no.
that.
No one ever has.
No. No.
Okay.
I think I've only heard of it.
I never go Jurassic Park 2.
So when you went Lost Kingdom, I'm like, they don't even have Aquaman in the goddamn title. Like, I am worried about this movie now. I was worried about it moving anyway, but now I'm really worried about if they didn't have Aquaman in the title.
That's a good point. We could probably bring that up because a couple of weeks ago with the Dune movie getting pushed back, we were thinking that Aquaman was the biggest suspect of getting pushed back next by Warner Bros.
And then they have released a trailer. So if they pull it now, they can just go away.
Yeah, exactly. So it seems, well, I guess it's not confirmed that it won't stick around still, but.
But I'm feeling better that there's a trailer out there.
Yeah, gives you a little hope.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's the theatrical marketing department doing what they're supposed to do, but they're not the one who makes the decisions about when release dates are.
We'll see when we get to Christmas how it's going.
We'll see once it releases if it comes out.
We'll see when it's on screen for early shows that it has played
all
right. once.
If all the mama bears didn't go out for Barbie, there's another film on the horizon for mama bears out there.
That's true. At least Aquaman has that going for itself, and that's Jason Momoa, who I'm not really excited for this movie, but he looks great, and he looks great still in the role.
I'm sure that it's got a very good story.
Somewhere.
It's very intricate, appealing story.
If I can't figure out what it is in the trailer, maybe it'll show up in the movie.
You don't mind a stripped-down Aquaman story?
No.
We don't.
A bare bones Aquaman film.
Just take it back to a more natural, easy-to-consume state. Yeah.
So I think
let's not complicate it with details. All right.
I'm sure a lot of people who like Aquaman and Jason Momoa are saying the same thing. But at least on our side, we don't get into like the weeds when it comes to like internet conspiracy type stuff. But we have heard trickles of the Aquaman movie being the worst movie ever, yada yada. Flash was hailed as like the greatest superhero movie ever, yada yada. Well, so hopefully. It's reversed here to where Aquaman's great.
Yeah, I think there is always a possibility it's not good. But a lot of people, fanboys in particular, are saying, well, they haven't been marketing it because they know it's bad. And the test screenings came back bad and all this. I'm like, well, let's not worry about test screenings anymore. Because test screenings came back excellent for The Flash, and they thought they had a $150 million film. And
Suicide Squad.
And Suicide Squad.
Whatever it was.
Yeah, and so there's something fundamentally broke down with the trade screening process that it's just not getting good feedback back.
Sure, yeah.
But Aquaman has gone through really expensive reshoots and changes to the story.
I thought the Snyderverse was expensive.
And you know that drama with Amber Heard, who ruined her own career trying to be some crusader. I'm mad at her.
She's trying to be a crusader.
She was like a victim.
You know, she and Johnny Depp are both crazy, right?
Yeah, I know they're both crazy.
It's not equal, but it's still like on the crazy spectrum.
They're both crazy. Yes. Yeah.
The teeter-totter is very even right now.
Yeah, but I'm just saying she ruined it.
And also they lit the teeter-totter on fire.
She ruined it.
She ruined... She She never had to ghostwrite that article. Like that, then he wouldn't have sued. Then
article?
We wouldn't have had.
What are you talking about?
We're in the weeds here, Kyle.
You're in the weeds, but she had a separation from him, and they had a like. You're not going to talk bad about the other person. Then she went out and wrote an article where she didn't name him by name, but it was pretty obvious she was talking about him. And if she had, and so he sued her, and that's what that whole fiasco was about. If she just hadn't written that stupid article, she would have still been a movie star.
She would still been Aquawoman or whatever she is.
I don't think she was going to be a movie star even after Aquaman came out, personally.
Right, but I would have gotten through more Aquaman without all the drama.
I don't know what that means, but okay. We have Aquaman 2. There we go.
Like
there's more.
Save the drama for your mama.
Okay.
Let's get back to this trailer.
I liked it. I thought the story was intriguing. I like how he brings back his brother into it to face an enemy that wants to destroy everything. I mean.
Point. Kyle, counterpoint.
Counterpoint on what? Why I don't
why
like
Cody,
it?
Yeah. Why Cody just said all these things about the movie and now you're going to say negative things about said.
Well, I mean, movie. That's just a big assumption to think that's the story because I got lost. The trailer.
What do you get lost?
The trailer does not explain it
Manta
very
comes
well.
Comes back after having found the Black's trident, which holds terrible cursed powers, and he's stronger than ever, and he wants to tear down everything that Aquaman loves because Aquaman killed his father in the first one.
Hold on.
So this is a whole revenge thing.
No, pause. So they have tridents with different powers.
Yeah, so
like,
Aquaman has
Atlan's
gold trident.
So these are like the gems, the Infinity Stones. And
well, there's just two.
Yeah, how did you find that out?
Only know
that was all in the trailer, Kyle.
No. You only know of two. Correct. Yeah. They didn't say there's
technically
only
there could be up to seven because there's seven
Correct.
Kingdoms.
Correct. That's what
I'm loving this.
That's such
so
a
there could be seven.
Big leap,
there's only like five Infinity Stones because the knuckle
there
or is there six.
I think
there
was a middle
one. One in the middle. Yeah. So there's six. So they had to have seven. So they're better than
they are better.
Marvel, yeah.
Obviously. All right, then I can see that's the.
They have more special things.
How did you not get that from the trailer?
Oh, very easily.
Okay, thank you.
But I was distracted by the bombastic action sequences and the sea monster character designs, because I did like that in the first one, if I'm remembering that correctly, because it's been a while. But I like that they're still going for that and that they're not trying to tone it down, because I do think that was one of the surprises and why that helped that movie be successful is because it was kind of unlike a lot of other superhero movies for that reason of just going for it and seeing what works.
Yeah.
Like, wasn't there an octopus playing drums as they were heading to war or something? Like, that's cool. Like, that's a really cool visual. So at least they have more of that going into this.
Everybody's riding and fighting on giant sharks. And
And the sharks have like two heads for some reason. Yeah. I don't know. At least that's how I remember it.
Yeah.
I did remember Julie Andrews. I was talking to this with Cody before we got in here, that Julie Andrews voices a mysterious mythical sea creature in the first one.
But
so
he couldn't remember Julie Andrews. And he's like, that woman. And I was like, I knew it was a woman that voiced her because it was a female character.
Well,
but I was like,
I said from Mary Poppins.
I said Judy Dench first. And then I said Emily Blunt. And then I said,
you got Cody involved in naming a classic.
It was an error in judgment. I admit.
It's a huge mistake.
Angela Lansbury.
I did like the Angela Lansbury one. Big Bedknobs and Broomsticks fan.
So embarrassing for me
to be associated with both of us for different reasons.
You were not part of that conversation.
I know. I would have buried both of you in the middle of it.
He's not.
Like, this is the dumbest conversation I've ever heard.
He doesn't want to be a part of this conversation.
Yeah. I'm uncomfortable now.
Okay, so do we have anything else to talk about the trailer?
No, just excited.
No. Yep. So, well, speaking of
a
movie.
And I can be manipulated by a trailer. I'm like, this looks so good.
Yeah, well, again, if Cody thinks it's good, watch out, folks.
Uh-oh.
Ruh-roh.
No.
No, you
not
like
all the time.
Not
like,
all the time.
You like Barbie. It's you're hitting, 900 on movies that you like that don't do well.
That's
all sad. Right. It is sad.
So we can move on from that to mentioning that the Marvel VFX workers, who a few weeks ago we mentioned are deciding on whether to unionize or not, they unanimously voted yes. So I guess they're probably going to be on strike, I would imagine, or something's about.
I think there's a strike coming down.
There's a strike coming down.
But first they got to get a union established.
Right, but they're going to start doing that anyway.
Yeah. So just when we get through this writer's one and this actor's one, then the production will still be halted because, you know, studios like Disney can't make a film without special effects. So
everyone's miserable in L.A.
Yeah, everyone.
Don't get on anyone's bad side. But I would imagine that if Marvel and their, you know, VFX workers have initiated this, then there is possibility for a trickle-down effect, would be my assumption.
Yeah. I mean, I think it could go beyond just visual effects workers in the industry. Like, there's a lot of, you know, video game developers and things like that that, you know, people can't just pivot to another. So they are a closed group that only work with a few studios, and they pretty much work on everything, even if it's just little parts of all the films that come through the pipeline. So... yeah.
Just another monkey wrench in trying to keep theaters open.
Right.
We need more, you know, distractions and frustrations in this process. It's hard enough to actually get movies to stay on release dates and get them booked and get them to the theater and then get the right keys for that particular movie then to the theater.
So just like always, movie theaters, we're ready to go. Just... yeah. Let us know when we can have a movie.
I had a studio rep tell me earlier in the week that theaters aren't really flexible. And I'm like, what are you talking about?
As
like,
a film buyer, huh? Yeah,
huh? like they're not flexible. They're not able to pivot. So to have something like a Taylor Swift just dropped in our lap, it was like a monstrosity because, you know, nobody could change it. I'm like, what? Like, theaters are definitely super flexible. They're the ones that have to deal with all of you lunatics in LA changing the release dates. Yeah.
And we have to be flexible because of their insanity in these things.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And their expectations.
That's how you keep a business open.
Things like rating changes and...
title changes.
Oh,
and... runtime changes.
Last minute runtime changes.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at you, Fast X... that went out with an advanced tickets runtime that was not the runtime when we got it. It opened months later.
Spider-Verse changed half of their movie.
Yeah.
After the first week of opening. So there had to have been an adjustment there.
If you played Gran Turismo, you know, there's three versions of the film available.
What?
To you to accidentally play the wrong one or two.
What? There's
three.
Well, there's one.
They're all the same versions. It's just difference in the picture and sound.
Oh, the important essential elements of a movie?
A picture and the sound, yes.
No, they're just
the visual and
slight tweaks, yeah.
Yeah.
That were released, you know, the week of.
And that sometimes you may not get your KDM key to open the correct version that you were booked for.
But we're not flexible.
Because we haven't all decided that one version is the version to go with and then gotten rid of the other versions we don't want to be used right now.
We've never dealt with a theater that had a projector down or a popcorn machine down or a building burned down next door and you have to run electricity in a makeshift manner
and
into
have
your theater.
Lamps in your lobby.
Yeah, never heard of that before.
Never heard of that.
Theaters being some of the most flexible businesses there are, as far as what they have to deal with.
This just makes my brain hurt. But your starting point about that rant. You're mentioning Taylor Swift, and I think that's a good segue into a little conspiracy theory, I think is a way to call it for us here on the show.
Yeah, so, bless her heart, Taylor is doing this concert movie, and it is great. And they have sold millions and millions of dollars in...
if not 100 million.
Advanced ticket sales. And, it's going to be a $100 million movie.
Hey!
Swift is out there.
Hey!
But... it would be nice because not everybody is going to go see Taylor Swift. Like, definitely her fans are going to go see this movie.
So everyone.
But I don't know. Like,
yeah, we're
not
all her fans, Cody.
Are we all her fans?
Yes.
Are we all going to want to see it?
Yep.
Non-fans
will be dragged to this.
I don't think so. But the studios seem to think so. And they have moved all of the movies that were on that October 13th date have moved off. All the movies have moved off. And they've had movies that came out around that date move to other dates. Like Taylor's going to be so big that the weeks before and the weeks after have been affected.
So we're not only talking about, as we've mentioned before, Ordinary Angels from Lionsgate or Exorcist from Universal, but even seeing small studios like Aviva Pictures.
Yeah, Aviva Pictures.
Who has an animated movie that even they push back a few weeks.
They push back their teeny little animated movie. Sony has come out and redone their platforming. They were going to initially platform wide with Dumb Money on the 6th, October 6th, but because that would be technically their widest points week two is Taylor Swift's first week, and they didn't want to get decimated, they have now made their widest point the 29th of September so that they get at least their 2 weeks before Taylor. It's just crazy to me. The pivoting going on.
That there's this big of a reaction. So you don't think it's necessarily in part because Taylor Swift's audience just encaptures a lot of them, even though there could be chances of counter-programming?
If you go with the premise that Taylor Swift, this is going to be a $100 million movie, right?
Sure.
Which it is.
Okay. It's going to be a $100 million movie. It is not the first or the only $100 million movie we've ever had.
Sure.
And
yes.
So
yes.
I look at things like Christmas time when we have launched Star Wars movies and
the classic known as Aquaman.
Yeah, the classic known as Aquaman, which was a $100 million movie, not opening, but just in our hearts. And
any Marvel movie, Avatar.
There's so
Avatar,
many
thank you.
Animated films.
Okay, but even if you just take Star Wars, which opened to $200 million. Okay, this was a $200 million opening. There were still other movies that played that
weekend. The Greatest Showman or a Jumanji.
Yeah, there were still other movies that played. So it's not like the studio to just back off the weekend because they're always given screens for counter-programming.
Mm-hmm.
So I just think it's crazy that Taylor has elicited this like fear, this spread of moving these films off this week, and that nobody, even Viva Films, is willing to...
So
offer counter programming.
So Alex Jones, what conspiracy theory are you proposing?
I think
here?
They're trying to punish AMC because I think AMC overpromised to Taylor and they are going crazy amount with their screens and her showtime and their showtimes, and they're giving her a lot, probably not more than an independent would, and maybe more than, you know, they're not so worried about trying to sell out those show times. They're just offering tons and tons of show times.
Not to mention the leapfrogging she basically did for the majors such as Universal and Paramount, who I believe were in the conversation at first to distribute the Eras Tour.
Mm-hmm. So
if you were a distributor and you weren't in the room for this, you made a mistake.
Yeah.
And if you didn't get this as a major distributor because you thought you knew better than Taylor Swift on how to sell tickets, you were also wrong.
Well, on Taylor Swift on how to sell Taylor Swift.
Yeah, Taylor Swift tickets, you were also wrong.
Yeah.
It's not a, you know, there was a huge gulf between these places. It's very obvious.
I just hear a lot of excuses this weekend now, like, oh, we aren't going to get showtimes. Oh, we're not going to get the preferred large format screens or IMAX screens. Oh, I'm hearing that people don't want to go because they don't want to go because of the Swifties are going to be in the building. So they want to see our movie.
That's
but
a little fair.
They don't want to see it when the Swifties are there. And so it's just,
that makes a difference.
Yeah.
Cause you don't go see a horror movie where, you know, a baby gets ripped apart in the next auditorium.
Right.
While you're watching the trolls singing with your children. It's like, it doesn't make any difference what's happening in the auditorium next door.
No. We've had to we've had to walk past Star Wars fans in the lobbies who have their, lightsabers out.
Hell, we've walked past you at the theater, Kyle, and ignored you.
Which is fair. I get it. Hey, guys.
It's mostly us being like, Kyle?
They must not have heard me.
Yeah. He just walks with his head down, looking away.
I guess in terms of the Eras Tour, like, I would consider it like borderline four quadrant type of event. Mm-hmm. So I get the what you're saying, because many other of these types of movies, like the Star Wars, Avengers, Avatar, they are also four quadrant movies, essentially. So
no, I mean, Avengers Endgame, it was its only movie that week, and people did get out of the way. We like there are,
but
some
even still,
films.
There was Infinity War, and then right. I'm sure Black Panther or Iron Man right. 3.
Those were those huge $200 million opening films that we all knew in the industry. Like, this is what event films.
Yeah,
but.
And Taylor could be the next.
I hope she is, because she everybody else has gotten out of her way.
Clearly, yeah. At this point with our industry, nothing would surprise me. So
those are the two things you see from our friends over at Paramount. Are this is messing up our week where we're opening. And then, do you have any issues with the runtime being over 200 minutes?
Yes.
Is this going to be okay? And it's like, no, this is not okay. How many shows can you get a day? I'm like, one. Have you seen the runtime on this piece of movie?
Paramount is finally starting to take some Killers of the Flower Moon dates. They're starting to get their print plans in place, like mm-hmm. really coalescing around. They are sticking with that October 20th date. They're not afraid of Taylor, because it is Taylor, second week? So they're correct. Not afraid.
Yes.
So we do have that there. But it is a film that is nearly almost 4 hours long. And if
yep.
you need any time in between, whether it's like 10 to 20 minutes or even more to clean the auditorium, given staffing issues that a lot of theaters have, you're looking at a total 4 hour commitment yeah. per showing to this film.
They're going
to
do this in IMAX too, Kyle. So if Oppenheimer was 11 miles long, this is going to be like 12 or 13 miles long, which is just yeah. hilarious.
Like, I want to see that stat.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, you'll see it. You'll absolutely see it. But
it's going to be rolling
like
around the world.
Christopher Nolan out here, like, look how big my reel is.
Yeah.
And Martin Scorsese at 4 foot nothing's like, look at this.
That's cute.
Yeah.
No, I am excited for this, of course. 4 hours does feel daunting, even for an audience member.
It's a whole day.
That is a whole day. For me, Oppenheimer, going to see that in IMAX was almost mm-hmm. a whole day.
I wish they would have just done an intermission. Why can't they just build in an intermission for the comfort of the audience? I'm not even saying from the theater's perspective, which would be amazing, because then it's like fill up at the snacks.
It could be amazing. It could also just be an absolute shit show of... I know it makes sense to have an intermission. People can use the restroom, get more concessions, like
right, but
stretch. All those things.
You're not even supposed to like be on a plane or sit in a car that long
mm-hmm.
without stopping for a periodic.
You're not supposed to be. This is America.
It's against
We're allowed
law,
to do whatever
apparently.
We want.
I'm just saying.
Land of the free to sit for four straight hours.
About maybe
I'm
you should
sit for
get
five
up
straight hours now.
Every 2 hours and stand.
I'm so excited about the actual physical length of this film. I can't think about anything else. That's all I want to talk about. I want to find...
Like a giant Ferris wheel.
I want to find the shortest director to make the biggest film. Like, I want to match these together.
Not the biggest in box office, just literally the longest reel of...
Literally the longest film.
Can you imagine it?
Yeah. Okay. Can you think about it? What is it like? It's like six different movies just like jump cut together.
A few Lord of the Rings, maybe the Avatar movies, throwing out Titanic.
How long were the Lord of the Rings extended?
4 hours, right?
There's like 4 hours. They're long. The last one is especially long. It's over 200 minutes.
Yeah.
I think it's something crazy. I think it's like 242 or something. Like it's
That's just everything behind the scenes.
I think it's 240.
Every single cut of every scene.
242 yeah. minutes or something. It's like over 4 hours. It's outrageous.
Every
long.
Single take.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great movies, though.
I mean, to the point, though, like at the time, most expensive movie ever made. Well, yeah, if you throw a third of it away, if you make a third of it and then pitch it in the trash.
And most everything was actually real with real costumes and makeup. And extras.
Spent $100 million on the bonus features.
You traveled to New Zealand. Had to live there for a year. Yeah. So anyway, that's our Lord of the Rings talk. That about wraps it up for this week's episode. But I don't know, just a fun, I don't know about fun, but just makes us wonder. Just makes us curious about this whole Taylor Swift thing and how the studios feel about it.
Don't drink the Kool-Aid out there, folks.
Don't take this to heart.
Keep your third eye open.
Watch your backs. Like any conspiracy theory, when you look at it, it's just like probably a numbers game. Like, we need to maximize this. But part of it is, I feel like it's, and we get to punish AMC by not letting them have any other content. So if this Taylor thing does not work out, they're screwed.
So,
which is not me thinking that.
So
I know it'll work
like
out.
30 years from now, in like a grand jury testimony, it's going to be called like Operation AMC.
Hillary Swank has to come in as a witness,
banding together to hurt their biggest theater chain.
Yeah.
Ken, again, it could happen in this industry. We could
see
that.
Kyle, do not drink that. I said.
A lot of craziness out there.
Okay, well, let's end the episode so you guys can make your tinfoil hats and we can move on. Let these guys move on with their week.
Yes. Well, have a good weekend. What's coming out this weekend? I think it's...
Well, this is coming out September 22nd.
Yeah.
So that's a Friday. And
Expendables.
Yes, there we go. I almost said Dumb Money, but that's the following
week. That's the following week. I just said...
And we're only 3 weeks from Taylor Swift.
Expendables, and It Lives Inside. Is that week?
From Neon, yes.
From Neon.
Oh, you're talking... I thought you were talking about like some parasite that Sylvester Stallone had. From all the injections taken over.
Poor guy.
It lives inside of him.
Glad he's doing okay.
Or it doesn't. That's the point.
All right. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Off the Break Podcast. Find us on all podcast platforms or at screeninsider.co. And be sure to like and follow our Facebook and Instagram pages at Off the Break Podcast.